Today's scripture reading is from Galatians 5:25-6:2, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, One Covenant Church. My name is Reverend Gideon Teo, and my NRIC number is Pastor Joel's Youth Pastor. So some of you may remember me as the Pastor Joel's embarrassing youth pastor, who actually showed some pretty cringeworthy photos of him and me when he was younger. Well, judging that he's not here today, I might have traumatized him a little, but I'm hopeful that he and I still have a very good relationship. After all, this is actually not the first time I have annoyed Pastor Joel. Ever since I was his youth pastor, I had honestly been pushy, annoying, pestering. I was far from a perfect pastor. I had plenty of blind spots, and my church members can see it very clearly. One of my personal blind spots is how overly friendly I can be. I'm the kind of person who's a super extrovert, who has absolutely no barrier, and as it turns out, I actually scared some new people away. In fact, one of my youths actually sat me down one Sunday, looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "Pastor Gideon, I'm bringing a new friend next week." I thought that's a good news, right? Okay. But she continued, "I'm letting you know in advance, please don't say hi to him next week, okay?" Can you guys imagine saying that to Pastor Z? "Don't say hi to my new friend." Well, I'm pretty sure why my youth is saying that, because she's afraid I might scare her friend off. Apparently, my friendly pastor persona came off as creepy stranger. Lesson learned thanks to my youth. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what a church is all about. A church is not about perfection, but about bearing one another, carrying each other's burdens, and loving each other through it all. Now, this is even more important, especially when some of us may fall to sin or temptation and is in need of support and restoration. When I was a youth pastor many years ago, one of my youths who started his national service started swearing vulgarities in church. He was a youth leader in our church, and suddenly he started swearing vulgarities. And he, for the life of him, could not understand why he cannot speak vulgarities now that he's in the army. He actually told me, you know, we had an argument about this. He told me, "Pastor, now I'm in the army, right? We are to be missional, right? These are my community of people. They swear vulgarities, lah." You know, this kind of thinking sometimes needs certain guidance and correction. And what I mean is that all of us, in our brokenness and weaknesses, may be met with certain temptations or obstacles or even things in our spiritual lives that we need an extra support from our brothers and sisters. Just now, we had our covenant vow of our membership. This is exactly what today's scripture is about, where as a church, we are to support one another. Today, the title of my sermon is Carry Each Other's Burdens. Carry each other's burdens. This is exactly what Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 6, where he encouraged us to restore and to support each other who has fallen and to carry each other's burdens. It's not easy. Sometimes it means patience, and sometimes it means correcting with gentleness. Just like building the walls in Nehemiah's day, it took a team of people working together. The work of restoring somebody and restoring someone in the church takes all of us, members, brothers and sisters in Christ, serving, supporting each other. And so today, I'd like to invite you to dig into today's passage, what it truly means to be a community marked by grace, restoring by mutual care. Before we do so, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 25 to 6, verse 2. My focus today is on chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 5 is a context of today's sermon. There are two main points in my sermon, carry each other's burden, which you can see on your bulletin. The call to carry one another's burdens and the heart to carry another's burdens. The call and the heart. So let's consider the first point. There is a call. God calls us to carry each other's burden. There are two sub-points that because we are empowered by the Spirit and we are to beware spiritual apathy. Let's think about what does it mean to love each other empowered by the Spirit? Now, what comes to mind when you think about carrying each other's burdens? Now, many of us are actually well-trained in our work, even in our school. Some of you may be even school peer counselors. We may imagine carrying each other's burdens mean a listening ear, a supportive friend, accepting others without judgment. All these are good and needed. But scripture here today is inviting you into something even deeper, something more transformational. The ultimate goal of bearing one another's burden is to lead others into a living encounter with our risen Savior so that they may turn away from their sin and be restored to Christ. Let me say that again. The ultimate goal of what we are doing, that is also the goal of biblical counseling, is to lead others into a living encounter with our risen Savior so that people may turn away from their sins and be restored to our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you to be tempted. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice here that there are two words here. There's a word restore and there's a word bear or to carry. These two words is a call to action for the church. Why? Because there are those among us today who may be weak, who may be in need of your service and your support. There are those who may be even caught in certain transgressions and are blind to what their sins are. Those around us who have been carrying certain burdens so heavy that they may collapse without your help. As a spiritual community, we are called by God to carry each other's burdens. And so scripture says, fulfill the law of Christ. Now, here is something we need to explore. What does it mean that we should fulfill the law of Christ? Because this law is directly related to you as a Christian. There's a law that Christ has given. What does it mean to fulfill the law of Christ? Now, theologian William Perkins, he explained that there are two ways to fulfill the law. One is the legal and the other is the evangelical. The legal and the evangelical. So the legal way is to obey the totality of all the laws by our efforts. And no one on earth can do so except our Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, because Jesus is a spotless Lamb of God, only Jesus Christ has fulfilled the legal requirements of all the law. This is the first one. So what Galatians 6 verse 2 is speaking here instead is the evangelical fulfillment, which means you and I, we have believed in our Lord Jesus. And with our whole hearts, we then respond to Christ and we seek to obey God in love and gratitude. So you and I are called to keep this commandment of love in obedience, in response to God. But your salvation do not depend on a perfect obedience, because all of us today in our sanctification progress will continue to learn how to love. This law is not another thing to bear on you as a burden, but to lift you up so that you too can experience the gift of sanctification. This is because Jesus Christ, He is the originator and the fulfillment of this new law. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, as I love you, that you also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. This came after Jesus humbly washed his disciples' feet. And he restored Peter, who had denied him three times. Jesus is the model of today's passage, burden carrying, restoring. All this supportive work is the work of Jesus Christ. So Galatians 6 today, therefore, is reminding all of us here today and calling all of us to carry each other's burdens, not based on what you can do, not on your ability to listen or to care, but based upon what Christ has accomplished in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5:25 all the way to 6 is talking about the fruit of the Spirit and what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. And 6 verse 1 and 2 is talking about you who are spiritual. It is only through the Spirit of Christ that you are both called and empowered to bear, to carry each other's burden. We carry each other's burdens because Christ first carried your burdens. And only those who delight in Christ and his laws, and those who delight in walking the Spirit, can do so and serve each other. This is a challenge for One Covenant Church. What does a spiritual church look like? 6 verse 1 says, you who are spiritual should restore him. Paul here doesn't say that you are to perform any sensational miracles, nor does he talk about speaking tongues here. A spiritual person in this context is primarily expressed in your relationship with each other. So look at the person next to you right now and ask yourself, do you have a relationship with this person? Because this person next to you is how you live out the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruits and the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested in our relationship with one another today in this church. The life of the Spirit flourishes not only for your sake, it's for the sake of the church, so that we all may grow together in the garden of our Lord. A spiritual Christian is not only called and equipped by the Spirit, he is also able to restore and intercede for those who are around him. It's because Christ's Spirit is living in us, and Christ's Spirit enables us to fulfill the law of love, gently restoring, compassionately caring, faithfully interceding. Brothers and sisters, let me state this very clearly. What we are talking here today, even in biblical counseling, spiritual restoration cannot be accomplished merely through secular self-help strategies or psychological therapy. This is not what I'm talking about today. Turning from sin is not merely a behavioral change. We are engaging in the work of the Holy Spirit. It is Christ's Spirit that enables us to fulfill this law, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes people's lives. It is power of the Holy Spirit in this spiritual church that the Spirit is at work among his people, shaping, transforming, walking all of us together in this path of sanctification. So let me ask you here today, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? And if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, are you manifesting the power of the Holy Spirit in your relationship with those around you? Brothers and sisters, our faith is not individualistic. It is deeply relational. Because the Spirit of Christ lives in you, enables you to fulfill this law that Christ has modeled for you. This is the call, and I'm calling everyone here today. Bear, carry each other's burdens. But you need to beware. You need to beware of spiritual apathy. Because the Spirit of God enables us to fulfill this. Spiritual apathy is the totally opposite. First, spiritual apathy is not willing to obey the calling of God. Spiritual apathy looks away indifference at other people who might be struggling. You might say, it's not my problem, it's his life, not mine. You know, we are very polite about this. You know, your life, my life, find your truth. This is not our church. You might even say, oh, let the pastors handle it. I don't think I know how to help another person. But what is Galatians 6 talking to? Who are the people Galatians is talking to? You might even say, I don't want to be involved. It's too messy. But brothers and sisters, this is what a church is. Spiritual apathy means that you choose not to look at the sufferings of the person on the road. Spiritual apathy is also manifested, secondly, in spiritual laziness or complacency. This is kind of Christian who is not ready. The question is readiness, or I don't know how to do so. The kind of Christian who's not ready to rise to the occasion. Interestingly, you look at verse 1, it is describing someone who is caught in transgression. Now, theologian Douglas Moo, he notes, Paul here is not thinking of a specific circumstance, but a possible situation that might arise anytime. So what he's saying is that Paul is suggesting a situation where a brother or sister has somewhat unexpectedly found himself committing a sin. So, because sin sometimes is unexpected, all of us here may have unexpectedly fallen to certain temptations or to sin. Or to quote the example of my brother, he started speaking vulgarities and he doesn't see any problem about it. Theologian F.F. Bruce, he adds, one true test of true spirituality is a readiness to set those who stumble by the wayside on the right road again, in a sympathetic spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, you may not know when the person next to you may have fallen to sin or may be in need of support. This person may be carrying a burden so heavy and he needs you. But problem is, friends, are you ready? Are you ready to help when the call comes, when the opportunity comes in? Because God sometimes leads you into a divine opportunity to serve and love. Let me share with you one of those unexpected moments in my own personal ministry. I was on a missions trip overseas, and I was having a pastoral conversation with one of the older church members of another church. He began to share with me very honestly about his usual ministry struggles and how he's trying to grow his church. But he paused and he took a deep breath. And he confessed, Gideon, I've been struggling with same-sex attraction. Now, that caught me off guard because that person is Chinese and usually Chinese people don't talk about things like that. But I stayed present and asked him to share more. He then continued to explain, he tend to be attracted to men younger than him. And I happen to be around the same age range. Now, at that point, I was sitting alone in a room with him, just two of us. And somewhere in the back of my brain, I was screaming to myself, should I run out of the room right now? It's super awkward. But somehow, praise be to God, I didn't panic. I continued to listen and I asked questions. And fortunately, we ended our time in prayer, repentance, and asking God to fill his heart with holiness, healing, and grace. Now, let me ask you, brothers and sisters, would you feel ready if somebody next to you suddenly opened up to you with a personal, unexpected, or deeply vulnerable part of themselves? Are you ready to speak to their lives? If you're not, let me invite you to attend the Biblical Counseling Seminar that I'll be teaching in 2nd August, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Right? That's a little advertisement, but seriously, I really believe that this will be helpful to you. So let us respond to God's calling. We are to be ready. Let us not be indifferent to other people's struggles. Let us ready to help those people, even when those burdens showed up unannounced. It could be in a quiet room when you least expect it. My second point of my sermon is that not only just knowing the call, what is the heart to carry each other's burdens? What is this heart that you should have? Two sub-points: restore with Christ-like gentleness and guard yourself from temptation. So let's think about Christ's gentleness. Why? Because how do you care for somebody else? The methodology. Galatians 6, verse 1. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, if the purpose of burden sharing is to point each other to Christ, then we must use the gentle heart of Christ. Because that's what Scripture prescribes. Gentleness, the heart of Jesus Christ. Christ's way of restoring is actually very different in this world. Because most of us often respond to failure or sin with negative reinforcement, such as harshness, impatience, or even aggression. For example, I'm a father of three children. I have my fair share of frustration with my children. And my wife has also reminded me not to use excessive discipline on my child, because I confess that that is a lesson that I'm learning. Because my father, when I was young, he would take out his belt and hit me with the buckle of my belt. So that was the context of my growing up. But this is not how I should be doing it to my children. And my wife is reminding me, if you use excessive force, that is harmful to them. Instead of feeling love, children may feel rejected or even crushed by your actions and even by the words that you say. Now, I understand that negative reinforcement is effective on a short-term basis. And sometimes it's needed. If your child is crossing the road, of course you say, stop. After that, you discipline the child because it's endangering to the life. But we are talking here about shepherding a child's heart. Because it fails to address the heart of the child that will lead to long-lasting change. The power of our flesh can only produce temporary results. You may be able to control your child's behavior at this time. But if your child has not understood the responsibility that God has given him and the heart that you have and the desires that you have for him and what God has called him to do, he or she will not respond to God. Because ultimately, one day you will pass and this child will grow up. And who will be the parents for this child? That is why one of the core principles of biblical counseling, or supporting each other, is that true transformation is not behavior modification. Let me say that again. True transformation is not behavior modification, but a metamorphosis of the heart. We desire that all of us here, our hearts are convicted by God's word and changed through a personal encounter with our risen Savior so that we will turn away from our sins and be restored to our Lord Jesus Christ. This changes what it means for us to carry each other's burdens. It is not just simply about listening, accepting, not being just there. It is gently leading them to Christ. That is the difference. Because it's not about you, it's not about them, it's about Christ. Because only Christ can help them. Only Christ can heal them. Only Christ can change their hearts. But in order for you to lead others to Christ, you first must first have an encounter with Him. Only those who have encountered and experienced His grace and gentleness, you then can extend it meaningfully to those around you. We are gently walking with someone so that they too can meet the Savior that you love. Parents, may I ask, under your leadership, have your child experienced the gentleness of God and learn Christ's truth? You may be able to control his behavior at a time, but you cannot control the sin in your child's heart. What your child needs is the gentle guidance of Christ to turn him back. Christ's gentleness is a shepherd towards his sheep. It's the gentleness where he washed his disciples' feet. It's the gentleness that is attractive. Think about how Christ spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well with such tenderness. He says, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Think about how Christ spoke to the woman caught in adultery. Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. Think about how he encouraged his troubled disciples. Do not be troubled in your hearts. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Christ's heart is gentle. And that is the heart of Galatians 6. It is that power that restores people. Our heart of carrying another's burdens must be shaped, not by impatience, not by arrogance, but by the same gentle hands that once carried the cross for you and for me. This is a gospel that is very deeply lacking today, because in our Singaporean society, performance often determines our sense of worth and success. Our strive for competence and achievements can lead us to expect perfection from others, or at least behave a certain standard la. As a result, we may be tempted to treat the spiritual failures of others in this church with impatience, arrogance, or even pride. I can't believe he or she fell into this particular sin. Sometimes we may even convince ourselves that being harsh is for their own good, to help them wake up their idea. Hey, you wake up by your idea, be a better Christian. You know, I'm telling you, you see what I mean? The gentleness of Christ is very different. Today, the gentleness of Christ is calling you to reflect on your own heart. What is the posture of your heart as you consider the weakness of those around you? That comes to my last point, is to guard yourself from temptation. Galatians 6, verse 1. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Martin Luther, in his commentary, he says, as if Paul meant to say, what is more human than for a human being to fall, to be deceived, and to err? Now, Luther here is not downplaying the seriousness of sin, but Luther is emphasizing that falling into sin is a universal human experience. He goes on to explain that if we, who are spiritual, becomes arrogant or proud, we too are vulnerable, because the evil one doesn't only attack the weak. He wants to attack those who are strong enough to restore others as well. You must be wary of your own weakness as you seek to support others. Because just as they have been ensnared by their weaknesses, you too may be tempted by sin as you seek to restore. Hence, Scripture now calls us, guard yourself. Guard yourself so that when it's the opportunity for you to respond in love, you will not respond with temper. You will not respond with arrogance or pride. Because we cannot respond by saying, God is merciful and good, but yet refuse to extend that mercy and love in your life to this brother or sister. I remember teaching in Sunday school once, and a boy kept disrupting the Sunday school class. He was around like 10 years old, and he kept poking the boys and girls next to him, you know, and I was standing in front, and I say, so I stopped him and say, brother, you are not allowed to disturb the students sitting next to you, okay? They need to concentrate on the class today. Look at this boy. He nodded. I start teaching the class. He started poking the students in front and behind him. And when I asked him, I said, don't disturb the people next to you. He said, you say not to disturb people beside me, what? At that point, I was running out of patience already. Totally running out. I said, let's go out. I was ready to bring down the fire and brimstone on this young boy's life. But somehow, as I was walking those 10 steps towards the exit door, somehow the Spirit of God was grabbing my heart. And my heart was reminding me, God knows, God understands. God knows, God understands. Speak with love. And honestly, at that time, that was not a battle for his heart. Those 10 steps was a battle for my heart. Would I be faithful to God even in this messiness? Would I reflect on Christ's gentleness or react in my human frustration? Paul says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Those of you who have the privilege of serving others, of teaching others, we must guard against our own temptations. Because we can be quick to spot the faults of others, but we may be blind to our own. In my premarital counseling, there was once a guy was actually venting. Okay, so it's a premarital counseling session. A guy, girl, sat next in front of me. He was venting to me about his fiance. So this guy, he's a classic lah. He's the, I'm the logical, I'm the correct one, and she is the emotional and unreasonable one. You know the type lah, huh? And so he was convinced that he has all the reasons and the wisdom while she's an emotional wreck. And because of that, he feels that he has the responsibility, his sacred duty, to help his fiance learn from her mistakes. And usually when people disagree, when couples disagree, we might gently say, I see it differently, you know, or I say, maybe you can think things differently. This guy, nope. He said out flatly, honestly, I think she is just dumb. Gentlemen, let me give you a piece of advice. That is not how you carry the burdens of your future wife. And if you think that kind of statement is going to make her respond, you are so right, you are so clever, I'm so silly. Spoiler alert, that's not how it works. Usually that will follow up with either silence, tears, or a death stare. Because essentially what you're saying is, I'm right, you're wrong, you don't even know. But the irony in this case, the poor girl is crying, and the guy is completely convinced that he's modeling Christian leadership. And a few days before, this guy's parents quietly approached me and said, we are a bit concerned about our son. He's being too harsh on his girlfriend. We have to instruct him to go and comfort her. Brothers and sisters, we must remember that it is by the grace of God that we can support each other. We should approach this ministry of reconciliation, this ministry of support and restoration with humble hearts. We should thank God for opportunities like this. We should look to Christ and treat each other with gentleness because that's how Christ would treat them. We should see ourselves as fellow disciples of Christ, not better than them. We who are spiritual should restore them, but we also should be careful of our own blind spots. In truth, all of us are no better than the other person next to us because we, all of us, are in desperate need of the gospel and in need of Christ. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 1 says, comfort, comfort my people, says the God, says your God. The prophet's message is one of comfort, even in the midst of sin and rebellion. And as burden carriers, you too may feel the pain and despair that comes from the suffering of this person you're helping and supporting. Now, we don't just observe suffering from afar. We should cry together with this person to God who is in need of Christ's grace. As a Christian, I have the privilege of growing up in multiple countries and serving in multiple countries. Now, in my rich history of ministry, I have the opportunity to witness some really amazing stories and some heart-wrenching stories as well. One of my most heartbreaking moments was when a sister in our church shared that she was pregnant with her then-boyfriend. And she came to confess sins. Carrying the burdens of others can be a painful process because it means entering into the weight and sorrow of their sin. So at that time, many years ago, I, together with my pastor, we lovingly sat her down, confronted her sin, and the seriousness of her actions. We prayed with her as she confessed to God in our presence, and I cried. I cried because she was a young leader in church. She had great potential to serve God. I cried with her because she had to confess her sin publicly to her youth group. That was our expectation and requirement. She has to also step down from every ministry that she's serving in. I cried because she has to bear the burden of shame. I cried because she's like any other girl, looking for love and looking for happily ever after. I cried because she wanted love, and only the love of God can satisfy. But not all is lost. In the midst of that sorrow, there was also redemption. We had the privilege of carrying her burdens, walking her through the process of repentance and restoration. We journeyed with her as she prepared for both her wedding and her pregnancy. And on the wedding day, the presiding pastor acknowledged the sin of these two young people in front of him to the entire congregation, yet tenderly declared to the congregation, because they have repented, God has forgiven them, and so shall we. It was a powerful statement of God's grace in the midst of a broken world. We carry each other's burdens because God is still seeking the prodigal son today. He is inviting you to be instruments of his restoring love. Brothers and sisters, what does it mean to be a spiritual church? What does it mean to love, to carry each other's burdens as a spiritual community? It means that you must rely on the gentleness, the power of the Holy Spirit, and so that you can carry the burdens of Christ. God has provided you his Holy Spirit, and so may you carry each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ, so that we all may exalt Jesus Christ and glorify his name. Let's pray. Father, may you speak to our hearts. Call us to love and serve each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.